Hello, Shemai. It's November the 30th, 2020, and it's time for independence.
Yes! Yes! Yes, Cymru Radio. Yes. Radio Free Wales. Yes!
Well, thanks for joining me, Andrew Taylor, today for a very special programme where we'll be discussing, in the company of special guests, the media deficit in Wales. I'll be talking to two who have created their own websites and social media sites dealing with news from Wales, in Wales, for the people of Wales. The first is Ivan Morgan-Jones, who is responsible for the website nation.cymru, which has been around for a while now, and new kid on the block, Josh Garner, who has created Gwalia Media this very year. The third guest I will be talking to tonight is the Plaid Cymru member for South East Wales, Delyth Jewell, who has been very vocal in raising the issue of media deficit in Wales very recently.
Yes, Cymru Radio.
Now, Josh, in his 20s, hails from, in his own words, a small village in the valleys. He graduated from Durham University with a degree in modern languages and a master's degree in visual culture. He then taught English in Spain before returning home to Wales. He now dedicates his time to his work as a supply teacher and freelance video producer, as well as maintaining the site Gwalia that he started a little while ago. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Thank you very much.
Well, could I start then, Josh, by asking you what exactly was the inspiration? What actually made you feel that you had to create the website Gwalia?
So I've always been aware that the Wales suffers from a significant dearth of national media. And this has become more apparent in the context of the coronavirus pandemic. So I decided to start a website called Gwalia with the aim of communicating information to the Welsh public, cognizant of the fact that Wales lacks its own media, and therefore people were receiving their news from sources, London-based media, and weren't necessarily receiving the correct information about government policy, Welsh government policy, especially given the UK media's indifference towards devolution or ignorance of devolution. So yeah, I decided that I would try and play my small part in trying to address this deficit in some practical, pragmatic way.
Well, I've been on the website, the Gwalia website, and I have to say that it's one of the ones that has struck me as being very original and quite pioneering, to be honest. There are some wonderful videos on it, and my personal opinion is that they're more than just videos that disseminate news and opinion. I think they're beautiful pieces of work in their own right. You come from the South Wales valleys. What is the
That's right.
What's the climate like there now? I mean, how do people view their Welshness in an area like that these days? Does the Britishness overtake the Welshness, or is that slowly changing?
I think there's a pretty clear generational divide. So people of my generation and a little older who have been raised in the times of devolution are perhaps far more comfortable with their Welshness. And I think according to the census and opinion polls and surveys, the South Wales Valleys is an area where a lot of people identify as being Welsh, but the older people they also identify as being British as well.
Yeah.
So there's kind of this dual identity, and sometimes depending on specific subjects, people might gravitate or be pulled in one direction or the other towards Britishness or towards Welshness. But I think recently people have found or discovered a confidence to be able to put their faith in devolution and realize that we're just as capable of, you know, of managing ourselves, of controlling our own affairs. Yeah. And I think it's always been an issue of, especially in the valleys, because it's quite a deprived part of the world, it's always been an issue of confidence, of self-confidence.
Yeah.
And the way that people perceive themselves, if they have faith in their own ability, then this is projected outwards, and then they have faith in Wales as a whole. So if they have faith in themselves and they see themselves as being able to be agents in the world and control their own fate to an extent, then it's quite logical that by extension Wales is also able to be independent and stand on his own two feet. So I think confidence is a big part of the story.
And how do the younger generation get their news? How do they harvest the news? Is this actually a demographic that you're targeting with Gwalia?
Good question. So Ofcom, in a 2019 report, have revealed that a majority of young people spend their time consuming media online as opposed to watching the television. So again, this is another generational divide, quite a significant generational divide, and is ushering in a new era of media, especially in terms of, so new technologies are enabling new formats to emerge. So for example, we focus on video, that's our strength. So we package news into quite a digestible format. So this is a format that, you know, especially in the context of the popularity of sites like YouTube, which is the perhaps the most popular video site. Well, it is the most popular YouTube video site online. 92% of internet UK. Sorry, of internet users in the United Kingdom access YouTube and spend an average of 27 minutes a day on the website.
Yeah.
It's only natural that we try and harness YouTube for the benefit of Welsh media, given how much time young people spend on the website.
Is it difficult to engage people, younger people, then with current affairs and news matters?
I think it's probably a question of relevance. So if people can identify or recognize themselves or their area in the news, then obviously that's going to engage them more than seeing... Well, typically, if you watch BBC News, say, it would be... Majority would be of England. You wouldn't see any communities in the valleys. You wouldn't see any communities in Wales. People don't really feel any sort of connection with the current media landscape in Wales, given that it seems so remote to their lives. So in some small way, Gwalia is trying to address this issue, I think. And trying to make news a bit more relevant and a bit more identifiable. People seem to be pretty receptive to our content. I think... In many ways, is a matter of habit, because people are so accustomed to hearing such an Anglo-centric description of their world of Wales that they don't really know what the alternative is. So we're trying to provide the alternative. So even small things like the terminology that we use, or you know, the fact that we try to pronounce, well, we do pronounce the place names correctly. I think these things are quite important. And so far I've seen no signs of, you know, people finding it, you know, different or strange.
No.
So like we would, for example, we try to say, you know, use Welsh names, which some people might argue that is maybe, you know, a step too far in some ways, but we would use Welsh names like Caerdydd as opposed to Cardiff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's just a matter of familiarity and habit. If we can just, you know, repeat this, and we just, you know, that's why I would use. I don't see why Cardiff has any more value or currency than Caerdydd. Or Cymru for that matter. Maybe is, you know, I think it's a matter of habit. Nobody seems to, you know, blink an eye, and I think they've become familiarised with, you know, this new attitude
certainly shines out from what I've seen of the website, and I've come across some very impressive stuff there. I mean, the videos are wonderful, and anybody, please go along and pay a visit to Gwalia. It's well worth it. How, Josh, do you finance the website then? How do you keep yourselves going? How can people help you out in that respect?
So we have a subscription model. We use a website called Patreon, where we've managed to attract some 130 supporters so far in the 6 or 7 months since we began at the end of April, where people can, you know, donate in a small monthly fee. I think it's an average of around £3 to help finance our work. And we quite like this subscription model because, especially being from the Valleys, we see some sort of continuation of the tradition whereby you say the miners, for example, would each contribute a small sum, you know, the pennies of the people, toward funding the establishment of, say, institutions like the University at Aberystwyth or miners' institutes, where they could go, you know, not only to socialise, but, you know, to educate themselves in the libraries that they funded. So, yeah, in some ways we see ourselves as like a 21st century incarnation of the same tradition. So I think it's quite a... maybe a bit of a poetic take, but I think is
nothing wrong with a bit of that, Josh. To be honest. So, what about the plans for the future then? What plans do you have for the future of Gwalia?
So, I think the main goal is probably to increase the frequency at which we release the videos. So, currently we release a video on a 2 or 3 day basis, and we would like to get this down to 2 or 3, even 4 or 5 a day. And again, the only obstacle to achieving this is the amount of time that we're able to invest in Gwalia. So currently, you know, so Gwalia isn't raising enough currently to be able to devote as much time as I'd like. So yeah, it's just a matter of finances. So the more money that comes in, basically, the more time that I can invest into Gwalia, and the more videos we can release, them more frequently. And I think there's a saying that quantity has a quality of its own. So the more we release, I think Gwalia will also maybe, you know, develop at a faster rate, because people will be anticipating content more often, and then they'll tune in more often, or they'll visit the site more often, and that'll lead to a virtuous cycle and create some sort of momentum. So I think once you start to grow your audience, your impact and your leverage in some sense grows as well. I think with Nation Cymru, Eva Morgan Jones has managed to, you know, Rugnium line, we'd say in Welsh, he's managed to invest the hard work in over years, and you can see that recently especially is starting to take off, and the audience is growing, and it seems to be on quite a good trajectory upward. We're just at the perhaps like this maybe just a delayed version of that, hopefully. And
well, I'll be speaking to Ivan.
A few years behind.
It'll be nice to see actually what he has to say some years further along the line from where you are now. But I sincerely hope that the people who've listened to this today will latch on to the website and help with the funding, because it definitely deserves some people's attention and their generosity. Well, Josh, it's been a great pleasure speaking to you today. And
diolch yn fawr.
Well, diolch yn fawr i ti. And it's been fantastic to see somebody with the wherewithal and the passion to try and do his bit to rectify the deficit, which is, well, it's wounding to our democracy. All the best with Gwalia Media, and I look forward to seeing your plans for it come into fruition.
Cool, thank you, excellent. Diolch yn fawr.
Well, thanks for the chat, and I hope we'll get the opportunity for another one before too long. Diolch yn fawr iawn i ti, Josh.
Diolch.
Yes. Yes. Yes Cymru Radio. Yes. Independent news and views for an independent nation. Yes.
Well, first of all, could I ask the both of you? It sounds like a bit of a clickbait question. I hope it doesn't strike you as such, but it is superficial in its form, but I think it touches upon something very, very deep and very important. If somebody were to ask you how high on the shopping list of essential ingredients for an independent country, an independent entity, a polity, how high does the media and broadcasting figure, how high does it rank in that shopping list?
I think it's one of the absolutely essential issues that comes to the sense of identity that the nation feels and that the people feel for themselves, because we're talking about the stories that people hear. The stories are so powerful, but the stories people hear about decisions that are affecting their lives. But it also talks to how a democracy is functioning. So a few weeks ago, I'd quoted some statistics from Cardiff University in First Minister's Questions that show both the low levels of engagement, unfortunately, that we have, particularly with Welsh newspapers. And by the way, that is in no way a criticism of the fantastic standard of journalism that we have in Wales. But the way that trickles through then into a lack of understanding of our politics, that 40% of people that were surveyed incorrectly thought that Plaid Cymru had been in government between 2011 and 2016. And, you know, only 50% of people knew that health and education were devolved. I mean, how is a democracy supposed to function when people aren't being provided with the elementary information they need to hold the government to account and decide how to vote? So, I mean, I think that whether or not the media and broadcasting is kind of being controlled is the wrong word, but at least is being steered and can have a say then as close to the people as possible, the people who those stories affect. I think that's a fundamentally important question for people's identity.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's extremely important because it's essential to the functioning of every other part of society in a way, because unless people know who the governments are and what decisions the government is making and what powers they have, you know, how can they vote in full knowledge of those facts? And if they can't vote in full knowledge of those facts, then the system completely breaks down. There's an idea in academia called the public sphere to describe the media. And public sphere essentially is kind of stage where the public and the journalists and the politicians come together, and it's kind of conduit through which the politicians can find out what the public want and what the public think, and it's also a way for the public as well to understand what the government is up to. So there's a kind of a close relationship there between the government and the public. Each knows what the other is doing, and the system works. What we have in Wales is this kind of blockage in the middle, where the public don't know what the government is doing, and the government doesn't know what the public thinks either, because the commercial model in Wales of journalism has largely failed. There's been cuts in the number of journalists. Yeah. They're mostly dependent on press releases from PR companies telling journalists what's actually going on in Wales. And of course, that gives you a very distorted picture of what's going on and represents the interests of people who can afford large PR departments rather than the sort of the public on the ground. So it's extremely important, I think, to the basic functioning of democracy. And the problem in Wales, of course, isn't just a weak media in Wales, but an extremely powerful one at a British level. So there is a kind of British public sphere which is sort of overpowering the very weak media we have here in Wales in many ways. So we definitely, if we want Wales to function as a national democracy, as a national public sphere, I think a national media is entirely essential to that.
But we've got a long way to go, I think. You'd both agree with that. I mean, some basic statistics, which may or may not be out of date by now, but 6% of Welsh people read a daily Welsh newspaper or a newspaper produced in Wales, which can be compared to that 46% of newspapers produced in Scotland that the Scots read. Newspaper sales are plummeting. They're almost at rock bottom. The only one that holds up fairly well is the Daily Post in North Wales. The curtailment in broadcasting hours for news and current affairs on TV in Wales, they've gone down. What's responsible for this? Is it a disconnect? Is it that the people of Wales don't actually want to know what's going on around them? Or is there something a little bit more sinister at work? I mean, this could be another one of my little foibles, another little conspiracy theory, but it seems to me that the British propaganda machine has ramped up significantly over the last 2 or 3 years, as if they finally clicked that something is afoot and the monster is now stirring. I don't know whether you agree with that at all.
I just make the point you're asking if it's down to a lack of interest by the Welsh public. I just want to say it is not a demand problem, because if you look, for instance, at the Wales Online, the Western Mail's online sister site, you get 50 million visitors a month. The website I edit, nation.cymru, gets 500,000 visitors per month. Even if you go back to the sort of the golden age of the Welsh press in the late 19th century, they weren't getting anything like those numbers. So more people are reading about Welsh news and Welsh current affairs now than at any point in the history of this nation. The problem isn't how many people are reading. The problem is with what they're being given. The problem is with the supply. And what they're not being given is a good supply of investigative news that really gets under the skin of stories and what is actually going on here in Wales today. So that's really the problem. What we need to do is strengthen the media. We do have, we on Nation de Cymru are trying to do that by enticing people to come and subscribe, and people who are interested in developing Welsh national news to actually give us sort of £3 a month. And if we can get sort of 1,000 people to do that, you know, it's enough to hire about 2 journalists as well as myself to work on the site. So that's our plan. Others like the Western Mail are going about it. Wales Online are going about it through sort of advertising and so on. Different people have different ideas, but what we really need to do is really to strengthen journalism in Wales so that people, the problem isn't a lack of people wanting the news, it's a lack of people getting high quality news here in Wales at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, and I think I'd add to that, I completely agree that this is not a lack of interest. I think that one of the problems with the Welsh media landscape is a lack of ambition from successive governments and not wanting to get it right. I mean, dare I say it, there might be some vested interests in some quarters who do very well indeed from the status quo and from people maybe not knowing that much. I would be delighted if we were in a position to have a plurality. I think we need a plurality of sources, including sources of news where I would totally disagree with the editorial stance, but I could still respect the fact that, you know, that there were other takes on Welsh news. I mean, I do think that nation.cymru, it's probably the biggest success story in terms of a new news source in Wales in living memory. We need more, and I'm sure that Ivan would totally agree with that to have a plurality of editorial voices needed, that's something which is necessary for the health of a democracy.
Yeah. Well, let's address this what I perceive to be a lack of interest in Welsh affairs by the people of Wales. Maybe that's not quite how the situation is, but there is also that element of what used to be known as people along the border turning their TV aerials, turning them all east. There is still an element of that, isn't there? How are we going to engage that element of the population and try and woo them back to seeing that there is a worth to actually knowing what's going on around them? It seems to me that their sights are set so far sometimes that they don't actually know what's going on around them. How do we win the hearts and minds, to coin a corny phrase, of people like that?
I don't think that's a matter of them being sort of intrinsically more interested in sort of British news, British entertainment, British current affairs than they are in Welsh. It's a quality problem. The problem is that the service they're getting by turning their aerials in the other direction is better than the one they're getting here in Wales. So that's a problem of quality. It's about giving them a better quality entertainment, better quality information, better quality news here in Wales than they would get elsewhere. Because, you know, Welsh sort of media, Welsh broadcast media, it is to a large extent a kind of a regional arm of larger British corporations, and just don't have the kind of funds spent on them we see in other parts of the UK. So, you know, as I was saying, it's not just a matter that the Welsh media is weak, but that the British media is particularly strong. And the only way to counterbalance that is to have sort of more funds and more time and more effort dedicated to the media here in Wales.
Yeah.
And I with that, what was that wonderful quotation from Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. I mean, my advisor had been analysing how many minutes of political coverage was shown on television in Wales each week, and it's 145 minutes a week. That includes Wales Today, and it's triple that amount in Scotland. Now, and it doesn't help as well that the kind of dedicated political analysis shows, they tend to be on at really unsociable hours, around 10:45 at night for both Sharpend and Wales Live. So I think that particularly as in a time when we're going into an election period, we need to be thinking about making sure that the main news bulletins at 6 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, that the default is that it is Welsh coverage, and then it can default over to what is going on a UK level. But especially when we're talking about what's happening with the Senate election next year, in the election period, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't have a news style, a news night style coverage program every night in the 6 weeks leading up to the election, because that's the kind of thing that they have in Scotland. And I know that we've been talking about whether or not it's down to tradition or down to vested interest or kind of combination of lots of different factors why it's different in Scotland, but it doesn't need to be that way. And I agree with Ivan, we need to look at resourcing this and making sure that actually there is funding there so that the Welsh electorate can be informed about the decisions that are going to affect their lives. Mm.
How receptive is the Senedd then? How receptive is it to the idea of devolving broadcasting and to Wales? Because, Delyth, you've raised this with Mark Drakeford recently, and he seemed in his answer to be a little bit more than lukewarm, which I saw as a bit of a plus, to be honest. Can you see it actually, the wheels being put in motion? I know that Westminster's poo-pooed it very recently, but there we are. Let's keep going with it. How realistic is it that we keep driving towards that direction, and that it's actually going to get results? Is there any hope for that?
Well, I think there definitely is a hope, and it's not it can't be something that we only hope for. Of course, it has to be something that we work really hard to ensure that it happens. When I'd raised this, I've raised this a few times in the past few months with the First Minister, and I agree with you. He seems to be a lot more making positive noises about it. He will never quite come out in favour of saying he is in favour of the devolution of broadcasting, but he doesn't say that he isn't either. I mean, I think that the past few months have been the fact that devolution has been brought to the attention of so many more people in Wales, that can only be a healthy thing. And I think that I think that there's always a vying, there's a conflict within probably most politicians who believe in the union and want the union to prosper, but who also are seeing that the current government in Westminster, and the likely government for a long time, I'm afraid, is dead against the idea of devolution and wants to roll back on devolution. So, I mean, the First Minister most recently has said to me he'd be very happy to see cross-party work on addressing this issue before the Senate election. So I feel very hopeful about that, and I'm going to keep fighting for it.
I'd just like to say, I think it's extremely important, and, you know, if the opportunity arose to devolve broadcasting, I would grab it with both hands. But I think it's very important also to keep up the pressure on the Welsh Government to use the powers they have at the moment, because, you know, we have devolved culture. They do have an awful lot, a large budget to spend, of which they spend, you know, virtually nothing on communications and news and broadcasting and so forth. So I think, you know, say we want to devolve broadcasting, but we have to remember that, you know, even the SNP, who have been in power for 14 years, a nationalist government, haven't been able to wrangle devolving broadcasting yet. While, you know, the, perhaps the way forward in the short term is to put pressure on the Welsh government to have some of what they have in Scotland, and put pressure on the BBC to have some of what they have in Scotland, and ITV and so forth, which are more sort of dedicated news programmes dealing with Welsh current affairs, as a kind of interim measure, and also more spend on journalism in Wales, sort of financed in an arm's length way by the Welsh Government as well.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think that the way of kind of issuing grants through Business Wales, that can be a really sustainable way of, at least as even saying, in the short term or in the medium term, for as long as we are not in a situation where broadcasting itself is devolved, they are still tools at the Welsh Government's disposal. And I absolutely agree. I think that we should be putting pressure and continuing to put pressure on the Welsh Government to do that.
Yeah, and I think whatever happens, we're going to be up against a juggernaut of a backlash from the British state, because, as I said, I think they're mobilising at the moment. The British Britnat propaganda that seems to be everywhere. It's Great British this, that, and the other, with bunting dripping from every corner of the TV.
Could I just make one point? Yeah. Is that I sort of share your concerns, but I don't think we have that much to fear, because ultimately I don't think they care enough about Wales to invest that many that much resources in us. And as long as we care more about the future of Wales than they do, I think that whatever resources they actually throw at any kind of propaganda campaign, they're going to come out second best. And that's what we've seen in Scotland, where they've kind of made this sort of half-assed effort and then sort of not succeeded, and largely at the moment kind of given up, really. And I just don't think they, at a fundamental level, understand how to stop Scottish independence and how to stop Welsh independence, where they now think that the way to go about it is just to roll back devolution. Well, that's just going to inflame the situation further. So if I thought they had any understanding of how to you know, win over people who are thinking of Welsh and Scottish independence, I would be fearful of this kind of propaganda campaign. But ultimately, I don't think they do.
Well, that's comforting to know. Well, unfortunately, the clock has defeated us with so much stuff I wanted to discuss with you as well. Hopefully, we'll get the chance to go into this thorn bush again, if you like. But Ivan and Deli, thank you very much for sparing the time to speak with me tonight. Ivan, before I wrap things up, what do you see in the future for Nation Cymru?
Ultimately, I think the future for us, you know, as things are developing at the moment, we're growing extremely quickly. As I said, we've had 500,000 visitors a month for the last few months. Our number of visitors is growing all the time. We're reaching larger and larger audiences. The future now really is to grow our subscribers base. We've got some 600 subscribers at the moment. We're hoping to increase that to 1,000. So if you want to see a national Welsh media, please do come on the website and do support us just for the cost of a coffee each month. If 1,000 people did support us, we'd be able to employ two journalists as well as myself and make a massive difference to the future of the national media in Wales. So I think that's the future, really.
Oh, well, diolch yn fawr, Ivan. Well, all I have left to do now is to thank the both of you and all the guests tonight, including Ivan Morgan-Jones, Delyth Jewell and Josh Garner. Thank you for your readiness to contribute, for sacrificing some of your precious time to chat with me, and for making my job a lot easier tonight. And a big thank you all to you all for listening. Remember to tune in to Radio Res Cymru every fortnight or so to hear new discussion on a wide variety of subjects, all linked to the free and independent Wales, which we will achieve before long. Hwyl fawr, Cymru Rydd.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Cymru Radio. Yes.